Welcome to the Heal, Thrive, Dream podcast, where trauma survivors become healthy thrivers. Each month, we'll feature a theme in the trauma recovery and empowerment field to promote your recovery, healing, and learning how to build dreams. Here's your host, Karen Robinson, transformational coach and therapist.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Heal, Thrive, Dream podcast. Today, my guest is Tasha Champion, and she's a champion, all right. She's not only phenomenal, but she's a phenomenal coach, is a certified master life coach, intuitive healer, a workshop facilitator, and she's been nominated 2 times for best-selling author and speaker. After learning and healing from her own personal struggles, she now specializes in supporting women through their transformation of self-love, value, authentic happiness, spiritual growth, and empowerment. So really good stuff. As a single mom of 4 and a triple negative breast cancer survivor, she defines the meaning of willpower with unwavering faith. Her coaching practice, Champion Empower Hermit, leads every woman to love the champion they are. That's a really beautiful bio, Tasha.
Thank you. Thank you.
What's not in your bio? Because I know I have the short versus your long one, which for the audience listening, we'll have the long one in the show notes. But what more would you like to share with our audience about you?
Wow. I took a healing journey. Wow, it's been a minute. 2014. It's been almost 10 years. I was awakened by God one night, like, hey, do you want to keep living like this? If you don't make the biggest change in your life, the life you've had in the past is going to follow you. It's going to continue. And I knew that how I had been feeling like I didn't have a purpose, feeling like I was just only a mom and a divorced woman, feeling like my life was just going to continue to be in a puddle of tears. I knew a change had to be made, but I had to make that choice within myself. And I had to be committed to a level of getting uncomfortable, to a level of acknowledging who I am, where I was in life, and how do I progress forward with love, with positivity, with actually using the beautiful heart that I had that I thought because of past things that was said to me was too emotional. Oh, you're too emotional, Tasha. But I found that emotions were part of my beauty. It was part of who I was. Mm-hmm. And as I took this journey, I found my mentor, and we started working together. I got a chance to really see who I was outside of titles. Women, so much, we live through our titles, mom, wife, sister, coworker, supervisor. And I just needed a moment to see who is Tasha Champion. And when I really unpacked and found who I was, I discovered life. I discovered happiness. I discovered purpose. And what I found was all of that was already in me.
Yeah. So it wasn't too hard to find.
No.
Yeah. We had to just move some cobwebs, right?
We do. Yes, yeah. We do. Mm-hmm.
I love that you said that because it's super important that people know that their greatness is already there. You know, that's the God spirit inside of them already.
Right.
So, yeah. That's beautiful. Okay. So that was a nice little story about your healing journey. But my audience is really going to be curious about, well, what was so wrong before? And before you start sharing, you know, only share what you're comfortable with. But if there's any traumas, any hardships that you're already disclosed openly, we would be honored to hear that about you.
All right. No worries. So it started back in childhood. Now, did I have like a horrible childhood? No, I had a very, what I felt was a normal childhood. But what I found was there was a lack of support for me. So like, for instance, I was a cheerleader for 2 years. No one ever came to my games. Like for 2 years, not one family member came to show support for me. As a child, I was not shy and I could sing and I wanted to sing and I wanted to act. Nobody supported that effort. So what I had learned within myself is that I was not worthy of being supported. And I didn't realize that as a child, I just felt like, wow, nobody supports me. But of course, being older and looking back, it played into my worthiness within myself. And so I grew up feeling that I was not worthy of being supported. And as you know, when you take your healing journey, you know that that follows you. And so what I found is that I kept running into people who continued to show me that I was not worthy. I wasn't worthy of love. I wasn't worthy of happiness. I wasn't worthy of finding out what my purpose was. I wasn't worthy of living a life that in my mind I should live, but I felt no worthiness that I could live that life. And this played out into my early 20s, into my 20s period. It played out into my early 30s until I had that awakening. And with that, I ended up marrying who I now call my husband, because he is the ex. He was the husband. You know, we had 4 children together, and it was like I wanted to prove other people wrong, which is why we did get married. When he asked, I knew in my spirit that I shouldn't. But it was like, but he wants to marry me. And I felt like I had won the prize out of all the other girls and all of his cheating. Tasha won because he wants to marry me. And that played into my worthiness. And then as that continued to fall apart, because it was never together, it continued to fall apart. I then, like, once I left my husband, I jumped into another relationship, and that was totally unhealthy. Me and my children were verbally abused. We were bullied. And again, it played into where do I feel worthy? And so worthiness, self-love, self-value, this was a foreign language and a foreign concept to me. But yeah. When God awakened me to know, like, hey, you got to live better than this. Mm-hmm. That's when I found that I needed to be connected to my own value, and it wasn't tied to what someone else thought of me. But when we carry that, and a lot of times, even as parents, we don't realize certain things that we do and say plays into the lives of our children, and they carry that into adulthood. And all we ever hear is, oh, just get over it. Don't be so emotional about that.
But you said that twice.
Yes. And once it gets into your emotions, it's there.
Yeah. So this brings up 2 questions for me. The first one being, because you brought it up twice, that people would say you were too emotional. Yes. And that is a direct gaslighting statement. Mm-hmm. And I want to know if you, A, recognize that, and B, how have you recovered from those kind of comments?
Of course, recognizing it now where I am in life, yes, I totally realized that that was gaslighting. That was, you don't know how to deal with my emotions, so you're telling me not to be emotional, or you are the reason that I'm in this emotional state, and you're telling me not to be emotional. And then as a child who was emotional, I was like, I cried over everything, but no one ever asked me, what are you feeling?
Yeah, what's
are you
wrong? Feeling? What's going on?
What's yeah. wrong? And I don't blame my parents, because at the end of the day, a lot of times we raise our children based on what we were, based on how we were raised. And if we don't learn better, if we don't know better, then we don't do better.
Right.
So yes, I do understand it now that it was gaslighting, and also a lack of understanding of how do you process and help a child through her emotions. And what was your second question?
Yeah. I think it's a really good question, and I don't want you to share anything personal about your kiddos. That's always your choice, but I'm not asking about them directly, but I'm wondering about how that changed your parenting, you know, because you know what it was like not to be seen. And there's lots of reasons why parents can't see their kids. Like, they could be overworked. They could have their own mental health struggles. They're in their own head and dealing with things. But because you had that and how that felt to you, how did that impact your parenting to be different?
You know, to be completely transparent, it didn't impact my parenting until I went through my own healing journey, because I didn't realize what I was doing. I didn't realize that I was making my children feel the same way that I felt. And what happened was, I remember probably about mid-30s when I started going through my own transformation. What came to me was, when I have 3 boys, I have 1 daughter, 3 boys. And whenever my boys would cry, I would go into, oh my God, stop crying like a girl. hush, be quiet, stop all that crying, never asking them, what is the emotion that you're feeling? So then as they became teenagers and young adults, what was happening is now that I want them to share what they're feeling, they don't know how because I never gave them that space as a child. And what I had to do was cultivate a safe space, a vulnerable space, and say, hey, you know what? When you were younger, I didn't know how to ask you about your emotions. I didn't know how to ask you how you were feeling. I did what I saw growing up, and that was to tell you to just be quiet. Stop all that crying. Instead of acknowledging you had a feeling and an emotion that was causing you to cry. And so I had to correct that within myself as a mom so that I could show them like, hey, this is a safe space now. And if there's something you want to talk about, we're going to do this judgment-free. If you got to cry, we're going to cry together. We're going to talk about it. If you need a moment to gather yourself, I'm going to give you that space versus making you talk. Cause I used to do that. Oh no, you're going to talk. You're going to talk now. I'm the safe space.
That works well. That works well.
It works well into getting them to just stay silent. And so I had to learn how to cultivate this safe space for my children so that when they have children, they can start very young and allowing their children to express themselves and not feel shame or guilt or judged.
How did your boys respond to you coming clean to them? Like, hey, I have some regrets about how I raised you. Now I know what I wish I had done. How did they respond?
You know, having three boys, you have three different personalities. Right. So my oldest son, he's more receptive. He's like, okay, so there's things that he talks to me about. Sometimes I do have to approach it first. My middle son he's just more reserved and more quiet. I describe him as whether he has a penny or $1 million, his face expression is the same. So there are sometimes I'm like, are you good? Are you okay? And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, are you sure? I can't tell. But I let him know that whenever you're ready to talk, if you want to talk, I am here. And this is a safe space of judgment-free. We're just going to have a talk. And then my youngest son, he gets the best of me because he was so young when I started going through my own transformation. So I kind of raised him into it.
I see.
And now he gets to have those open conversations. The beautiful thing is with their sister, she's the oldest. My daughter is the oldest. They also have a beautiful, trusting relationship with her. So even if they can't, if they don't feel like they can talk to me, they can talk to her. And she's created that space for them as well.
You said a lot of beautiful things. I hope you recognize that.
Thank you.
You know, even just, it's not always important that they talk to us. It's what's important is that they know that they can.
They can.
That we welcome it, and I loved how you said judgment-free zone. You know, that's a really tough place for a parent to be.
Right.
You know, I'm a therapist and I judge my kids all the time when I'm talking to them. Why are you wearing that? Cover your belly. You know,
right.
With the midriff shirts and things, and you know, they're educating me on a different way to be a feminist than how I grew up, right? With choices and things. So yeah, I think that's beautiful work. But so you had this transformation, but still, how did you learn how to talk to them? Or did you have some coaching, some therapy? Did you read good books? What did you do?
I think through my own mentor and her showing me my truth within myself, of course, like investing in different programs that cultivated that healing, reading different books, doing personal development. Like we would do personal development as I took them to school. I always played something positive so that their mornings were energized with, you know, positive energy, positive affirmations, positive thoughts. And what's interesting is like, if I'm going through a moment, my kids regurgitate that back to me, the things that they've listened to, because I always played personal development as they were going to school. So I think in my own healing, it showed me and guided me towards being able to communicate that with my children. Now, keep in mind, we all went through some trauma together, because when it was time for my ex-husband and I to get a divorce, he informed us that not only were we getting a divorce, but he was going to restart his life as if he was never married or had children, and directly eye to eye told my children he would no longer be their father after being a great father their entire lives. That's so unbelievable. So we went through a very like traumatic experience, because you can never unhear the things that you've heard. And while I'm trying to process my own emotions of a divorce and my ex-husband acting like we never existed, I also have to give space for my children to have their own emotions and their own feelings. And it was such a tough time because I didn't know how to process my own feelings. Remember, I'm too emotional. So I didn't really know how to process mine. And at the same time, I'm trying to help them with theirs. So we went through this whole learning journey together. And in that, I jumped into a verbally abusive relationship. So we haven't healed from my ex-husband. Now we're in this situation. And when we came out of it, when I was a part of the first book, the first anthology book that I wrote, I allowed my sons to read my chapter, and it gave them a better understanding of me and where I was and why I accepted bad behaviors from people. It allowed them to see Tasha and not just mom, so that they can see me as a human person, just as a person who has her own experiences, who has her own thoughts and her own mind. So they separated mom from Tasha, and they got to learn about me, and it helped out. It helped develop our relationship even more.
I would guess that helped them maybe not resent the person that you picked to be with, that they maybe had more compassion.
They had more compassion for me. I'm not going to say they had more compassion for the other person.
No. I met you.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Because they really understood more of like, okay, when you're not healed, when you're hurting, you draw that same type of energy to you. Right. And you accept certain behaviors because you don't have the strength to say, I'm worth more than this. I don't have to deal with you. So they had to learn that about me.
Yeah. And you had this I'm going to call it a quadruple injury. And this is excluding anything in childhood and excluding the boyfriend. Like when your ex said he was going to pretend that all these relationships didn't happen, you had your own hurt, but you also hurt for each of your kids.
Absolutely.
That feels, I try to picture that, and it's really hard to picture. It's like a incredibly heavy feeling. Right. And so you were left to basically pick up the pieces for your children. And I can't imagine that was pretty fatiguing.
It was. Because again, if you don't even know how to process your own emotions and you have to help them with theirs, and each of them had their own personal relationship with their dad. So each of them felt like they lost something different, but all of them were losing their father.
Yeah. Has that changed at all? Is it still the same?
November will be 10 years since they've had a relationship with him.
Okay. So is November a really hard month for you and your kiddos?
No, we reframe. We don't like, I learned about reframing, we started to work on reframing what November meant to us.
So what does it mean now?
It means a time of togetherness with the five of us, me and my four children. It means that every year we've gotten through it, we became stronger, we became more aware, we became more connected. November is a time of loving each other even more. And then also it's my mom's birthday. So we get to celebrate my mom. At the same time, we get to celebrate how far we've come and how much further we get to go. So we don't look at November as, oh my God, this was the worst month of our life. We look at, this was a situation that happened. It happened to be in November, but what we get to do every year going forward is what matters.
Yeah. And have gratitude for the relationships you have. Because some people have no one, and you guys have each other.
Yes.
That's incredibly beautiful. And I think super hopeful.
Yeah.
I love that. I love that reframe. That's pretty powerful.
Thank you.
Yeah. How did you reframe being a breast cancer survivor?
Interestingly enough, I was diagnosed as I was going through my healing. And I always say that God is so purposeful, and I'm not saying that he was purposeful in me getting breast cancer, but the timing of it, because had I been diagnosed at a time where I was in this unhealthy relationship, at a time where I didn't see any value and worth in myself, I may not be here. Because if you don't see value and worth in yourself and you go through something that could potentially kill you, especially having the most aggressive breast cancer, you could literally allow it to kill you before you even physically transition. And because I started to see like, okay, everything in my life works for my greatest good. So when I was diagnosed, I just asked God, okay, this is the life that I'm living right now. What do you want me to do? And he gave me the vision of, you're going to support people. You're going to talk about breast cancer. You're going to show women how to live through a cancer diagnosis. You're going to be there to sit with people as they go through chemo and sit with them at their doctor's offices. So my survival became part of my purpose. I get to get through this because I'm going to bring so many other women along this journey that can get through it as well. So I never asked God, why me? I just said, what do you want me to do? And he created a path.
The perfect question. Yeah. Yeah. Beautiful.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, I'd like to know more about a few things.
Okay.
So I'll put them out there. And if you can't remember, hopefully I'll remember again. Okay. So I have a question about the books that you feel were helpful and pivotal in your healing journey, because I'd love the audience to know about those to potentially purchase. I would love to know about the names of your books and about your writing journey. And I also would love to know more about the services you offer women now and why you. You know, I think we know the why, but I want you that from your perspective, right?
Okay. Right. Interestingly enough, I will be very transparent. I do not remember every book. One of the main ones that sticks out is The Four Agreements. And then I do a lot of audiobooks because I drive a lot. And so that's what works best for me. But there was one particular one by Gabrielle Bernstein, The Universe Has Your Back. Mm-hmm. That one was a really, really good one. And then a lot of videos. I would always listen to Eric Thomas. I would listen to Les Brown. I would listen to Will Smith. I would listen to Lisa Nichols and Iyanla Van Zandt. So these were like, and Oprah. Cannot forget Oprah. These were my go-to people to pop on videos and just listen to them every morning to start my day with filling my spirit with positive energy.
Very nice. Thank you. All right, now we can hear about your books.
Okay, great. So A Mother's Diary is an anthology. The visionary author is Kiana Shaw. So this was the first book that I ever shared a part of my life in a book. And I was one of the co-authors, I think one of 12. And I shared a piece of my story, just how I kept trying to outrun the life that I was living. And really, it was always going to catch up to me. Because when you're running a race against yourself, you're going to lose. And so it was about, hold on, stop right here. Stop. Just stop running. Face what you've been through and you can learn where you're going. So that is what that taught me. And that's what I share in that book. From that, a couple of years later would birth me becoming a visionary author of the book, Phenomenal Women, which went on to be an Amazon number one bestseller, as did Mother's Diary. And again, it was God giving me a vision. I was sitting at work at the time and I felt God tell me I was going to write a book. And I was like, who's writing a book? And he's like, you are. And I was like, I don't know about that. Like, we're having a whole conversation. I'm like, I don't know about that. And so he really showed me everything. He showed me the title. He showed me the cover. And I was like, I guess I'm writing a book. And I said, okay, well, you got to bring me the women. And I asked for 15 and God would bless me with 22. So there's 23, including myself. And we all share these stories through transparency and through love of how we gave up our excuses to make a way through life's most challenging times. So like, for instance, my chapter is Permission to Be Fearless, how I learned to live my life with a fearless spirit, a fearless heart, a fearless mentality, and a growth mindset. I have women who talked about losing their children, I had, let's see, there was someone who talked about molestation and rape, going through a divorce, becoming an artist in a world where Black women artists were not accepted. One lady restarted her life at 40 years old with no college degree, and how people dumped on her because they didn't feel like she could do it. So each woman, we go through this journey of where I was and living in my excuses and wondering, how am I ever going to change? And it's when you give up those excuses and you go, no, I'm going to make a way. I'm going to get through this. I'm going to live the life of my dreams. I'm going to step into my power. God has more for me, and I'm going to go after it. You get through those challenges. And what's beautiful about getting through challenges is we're going to always face challenges. But when you can get through the biggest ones, every time one comes up, it may hurt you. It may make you cry. But what you know is, okay, let me pick myself up and let me go through my steps and let me just know, let me remind myself, I've done it before, I can do it now. And each one is going to teach you something different. We have to go through obstacles to learn. We have to go through obstacles to grow. And that's what each one of the women in Chenomenal Women did.
It sounds like a wonderful project.
It was a beautiful, beautiful experience. Like, I, to this day, I'm still like, oh my gosh, like, this was just a vision I had, and here it is. I still pick up the book in awe, and I still read it like I've never read it before. I learn something new about each woman every time I read it.
Well, I will be getting it.
Thank you.
And reviewing it. I cannot wait to do that. Sounds great. Thank you for writing it.
Thank you.
Organizing it. I know you had your chapter and had other women contribute. It's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
So tell me now, like, with all your life experiences and professional experiences and the coaching programs you've been through, what do you do now to help women? What do your programs look like?
Oh my gosh. It looks like love. That's the best way I can describe it. But what I had to really open myself up to know is that I was once on this side of pain and hurt and exhaustion, and through my own healing, I emerged like a woman who knew herself, who knew a purpose. And I'm like, I know that there's other women that feel like that. And so my whole mission became show women how to live life with purpose and intention. And so now I work with women who feel exhausted, underappreciated. They feel like their to-do list is always bigger than they are. And every time they look at their to-do list, they're the only ones that are not on it. And I teach women how to heal and become unapologetic about living on purpose, because that's what matters. And so I have launched the Chenomenal Academy. And the Chenomenal Academy is a 6-month program that takes you through a complete, intense, but it takes you through a complete journey of healing, of building your confidence, building your authentic happiness. You shed and peel away the layers that you've been locked and stuck in, so that you're beautiful. Remember, a lotus grows through muddy waters. And so you emerge that lotus flower, you emerge that beautiful butterfly. And it's like, again, it's a 6-month process, but we take you through so many things, so many, aspects of life, because I don't want you just healed in one area and then another area is still suffering. I want women to be completely aligned all the way through their bodies, mind, body, soul, and spirit. I want everything to be aligned so you can really feel what life is like. I want women to wake up and go, oh my God, I love life. Even when something bad happens or something happens that shakes them up a little bit, they can still stand up and go, oh my God, I love life and I'm a Chenomenal woman. And that's what the Chenomenal Academy was birthed to do.
It sounds amazing. Good for you. Good for you for offering that to women. There's such a need. Such a need.
Absolutely.
Lots of hurting women out there.
Yeah. Yes. And that's all I want to do, is just take them through this beautiful journey of awakening and enlightenment and love and spiritual growth. And you really realize that we tend to live so small in life, unintentionally, but we do. We live so small in life, and there's too much world out there. And you get to be a part of that with a beautiful heart space and a beautiful, authentic smile on your face.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you know, the potential we have is mind-blowing when we know from research that we only use a figment of our brain. Most of our brain has not even been tapped into. So our power, our abilities, our talents, our strengths are way more than we would ever know.
Absolutely.
You know, nobody ran that fastest mile as fast as it's run now until one person went above and beyond what they were capable and then opened the door. So then lots of people started to run that fast, you know?
I love the analogy. Yes.
Yeah. And it's true for so many things. So it's important. Okay. So there's women out there today who are listening to our show and mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, they wish they were where you and I are right now in terms of doing things in the world to make a difference. We're, you know, a little ahead in our healing journey. So I know I have more work to do. I'm guessing you feel the same about your life. Yeah. So for the women that aren't on their journey yet, mm-hmm. maybe they are because they're listening to us, right?
Right.
What kind of hopeful, inspirational advice or suggestions do you have for them today?
The first thing you have to do is make a decision. Without making that decision that you can live life differently, you're going to live life the same. And if there's any part of you that is not operating through love and judgment-free, you're not living to your fullest potential. If you are out smiling and enjoying life, but then crying in the shower and crying in bed, you're not living your best life. And I can assure you through experience and through the women that I am blessed to work with, that no matter what you've been through, and I know you're probably thinking right now, but she didn't have the same life I lived. I may not have, but I still cried the same tears. I may not have experienced certain things that you experienced, but the way that I experience what I've gone through, I still cried the same tears. So although our lives may not mirror each other, the pain that we feel is still the same. And you have an obligation and a responsibility to yourself to know that you are more than where you are right now in this moment. And if you are already on your journey, yes, there are going to be times where things feel too thick to keep going. You're going to be in your comfort box and it's going to be scary to jump out of that comfort box. But because you made a decision to take that first step, it is always possible. Nothing is impossible. The very word broken down says I'm possible. So everything that you need is already in you. And it's women like myself and Karen who are placed in this world to hold your hand and say, it's in you. Now, let me show you how to bring it out of you. And let me show you how to walk a path that you were created to walk. Because we all have a path. We all have a journey. No two journeys are the same. So don't compare yourself to anyone. And also don't compare yourself to who you were yesterday. Just know that you can be better tomorrow. Life is worth living.
Beautiful. I think I said beautiful too many times.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, I need another buzzword. But I don't really think about what to say. I just say what I feel. So
exactly.
Yeah, it's very authentic when I say that.
Yes.
Yeah. It has really been a delight to have you on here with us today.
Thank you. Likewise, I appreciate having this time with you. I love connecting with other beautiful women that's on their own journey and connecting with other women. So it's a beautiful space.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thank you everyone for catching us today. We hope you feel inspired. We hope that you're ready for some healing. And please reach out to us at Heal Thrive Dream or Tasha at Tasha Champion. What's the best way to reach you, Tasha, before I mess
up? You can go to shenominal.com. You can follow me on Facebook. TCChampion.com. Please do not follow Tasha Champion as that is a hacked page. So TC Champion is my Facebook and the Shenominal Coach is my Instagram. So you can always feel free to reach out. Awesome. Let's work together and come to my retreat in October 2023. Yes.
Ooh, sounds awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you again, Tasha.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening in today. Please join us next week, same day and time. Also, I would love for you to check out my website, healthrivedream.com.